This is VOA's International Edition. Coming up, big elections in Tanzania and Ivory Coast. A new U.S. House Speaker expected this week. Human teeth could learn some lessons from fish.
Our approach is to find things that are hard to study otherwise and then target them in these animals. So in this case, Lake Malawi cichlid fishes and many other fishes regenerate their dentition throughout their entire life.
We'll rock the Casbah. In the movies, that is. These stories are more just ahead. I'm Ray Kugel. Tanzanians turned out in large number for a general election Sunday to elect a new president and parliament. Some are looking for the change promised by the opposition Chadema Party, while others are pleased with the work that ruling party CCM is doing. VOA's Jill Craig reports from Dar es Salaam.
The normally busy streets of Dar es Salaam were noticeably quiet Sunday, as traffic was sparse for Tanzania's much-anticipated election day. Voters turned up at various polling stations around town, starting even before 7 a.m. when the polls opened, to vote in presidential, parliamentary, and local elections.
But so far, the election is going well, and everything is well right now.
Voter Calista Nkone has been waiting more than 2.5 hours for her turn to vote in Mbweuni. But she says that things have been well organized.
For this station, I see it's good. People are going well in their lines. We are waiting for the name so as we can be called and get in for voting.
And back at Msasani, voter Sagana Disanis agrees that so far, so good.
Yeah, of course, the voting is going very well, perfectly. As you can see, people actually are here just trying to elect their presidents and some of their leaders and local leaders. It's perfect well, and security is quite awesome.
Election registering officer in Kinondoni, Flora Mazengo, says this highlights a more important point for Tanzania.
This is a free and fair election. Democracy is, is improving in our country.
There have been some reports of skirmishes at polling stations over a lack of or incorrect ballot papers. Jill Craig, VOA News, Dar es Salaam.
The National Electoral Commission of Tanzania says it expects to announce the winner of the presidential vote within 3 days. It was election day in Ivory Coast. At stake, the presidency, with incumbent Alassane Ouattara in a strong position to keep his job. The election is crucial for the country after previous post-election violence. I spoke with correspondent Emily Yob in Abidjan about the vote.
The incumbent president, Alassane Ouattara, is running for a second term in office. He is facing six contestants in the presidential elections, but he's still a very big favorite to win the elections. He is quite popular in the country, and he faces very divided oppositions. So in terms of suspense, he doesn't only want to win, he wants to win on the first round. That's what he aims for.
You say divided opposition. Is there enough of that opposition to beat him?
That is the big question, but three candidates already pulled out of the race. So that's why also Ouattara believes that winning on the first round is even more possible for him, because the rest of the candidates are not big enough, at least that's what most observers believe, to beat him, really. The historical opposition figure was Laurent Gbagbo, the former president. He is not there anymore. He is in jail awaiting trial at the ICC. And his party, the one he co-founded, is very divided, with people wanting to boycott the elections and others still presenting a candidate. So there is nobody really in the opposition against Ouattara.
Are there any reports of trouble in the voting?
Today, there is no really major incident. The only thing that people noticed was that the polling station opened with a delay because they were just not prepared and there were a bit of a miscommunication. But overall, there was no major incident. People were able to vote and everything is okay.
When are the final results due?
They have 5 days. The Electoral Commission has 5 days to release the results, but they've already said that they plan to release them. They hope to release them within the next 48 hours.
In a grander scheme of things, is there any historical perspective to this particular election?
There is indeed. It's actually very crucial elections for the country because 5 years ago, during the previous presidential elections, post-election violence left 3,000 people dead. When both candidates, Ouattara and Laurent Gbagbo, were both claiming victory. So the hope now is that the elections are going to be peaceful and that the country can move on and leave all this civil war past behind.
Emily Yaub in Abidjan. A month-long leadership crisis in the U.S. House of Representatives is expected to end this week. It's been the focus of much interest both inside and outside of Congress. VOA's Michael Bowman told me about the big doings coming up on Capitol Hill.
It would seem that the grand drama and suspense that we've been witnessing for about the last month or so as to who will lead one half of Congress, the House of Representatives, is going to be resolved. It would seem that Wisconsin Republican Paul Ryan, who is very well known, he was Mitt Romney's running mate in 2012. He has been the chairman of the House Budget Committee. He has been a real proponent of conservative fiscal matters for a very long time. It appears that he reluctantly is agreeing to the speakership when the party basically told him that it was him or no one, that they weren't confident that anyone but him could be elected to the job.
How did the hardcore conservatives come around to going for him?
Well, it remains to be seen. Now, there's going to be an election within the caucus. There's going to be a selection process within the Republican caucus on Wednesday, and then it will go to a full vote in the House on Thursday. There are some ultra-conservative members of the House, the real Tea Party members. They are called the Freedom Caucus. And even though they have given him a preliminary endorsement, it is not clear how many of their members will actually vote for him. In point of fact, they are almost irrelevant as far as being elected speaker, because if you get most of the other Republicans and most of the Democrats to go along and vote, he will in fact be elected speaker. The question is whether he can govern as Speaker of the House, whether he can lead his caucus, whether he can instill any greater unity as far as actually getting things done than the outgoing speaker, John Boehner, did. John Boehner was at loggerheads with the conservative factions of his party on many different occasions. And I don't want to say that it drove him out of the speakership, but at a certain point, it became clear that he didn't have the heart anymore, and he just didn't want to fight them.
Well, what do the Democrats think of Paul Ryan in this position?
Obviously, they agree with him on almost every issue of substance. There's almost no position that Paul Ryan has taken that would, on almost any issue, whether fiscal or social or anything else, where Democrats would say, "Oh boy, that's a great position." However, he is, for the Democrats, the devil they know. He is an element that they are comfortable with. Even though they don't agree with him, they believe that the duties of leadership will force him to make some deals, to get some things done. And they are very much hoping that the brinksmanship that we've seen will be lessened to a certain degree under a Speaker Ryan. It simply remains to be seen whether that will be the case.
Are there any vibes in the halls of Congress under the dome as far as the presidential contests going on?
There always are. I'm the Senate correspondent, and so I peer across the way to the House and keep tabs on things. But there are a number of senators who are running for president, Republican senators. We have to remember that even though a future Speaker Ryan will be able to bring any bill that he wants to onto the floor for a vote, once it goes over to the Senate, any senator can object to bringing a bill up, and then it requires 60 out of 100 senators to vote to proceed on that bill. We have the debt ceiling coming up. We have questions about how the government is going to be funded coming up in December. There are some real thorny issues that Congress is going to have to wrestle with, and I don't see any way that presidential politics won't intrude in some form or fashion.
That's VOA's Michael Bowman. Turning now to our social media segment, International Edition's G. Abby Lee is here in the studio to bring us up to date on what's buzzing online. Hello, G.
Hi, Ray.
Well, gee, what's the trending hashtag today?
Well, this Sunday, it's all about sports and music. And for this segment, let's just focus on the MTV EMA. That's the American Cable Network's Europe Music Awards.
So what's the best account to follow to keep posted on this grandiose ceremony?
Well, I would say the awards' own Twitter account, at MTV EMA. And this year's event is happening in the Italian city of Milan. And the MTV EMA is actively promoting its other social media accounts through Twitter. It's sharing, actually, the Periscope links and also telling followers to download the MTV EMA app for exclusive footage of the event. Now, for those of our listeners who are not familiar with Periscope, it's a live video streaming app, and it's one of the latest social media apps that Twitter acquired earlier this year.
Well, the changes are coming fast and furious in social media, but how does this EMA event work?
Basically, viewers decide which performer wins by casting votes, and then the MTV Network's Europe awards prizes to the performers. And this year's event is hosted by British singer Ed Sheeran, and he's on Twitter, at Ed Sheeran. He tweeted this a day earlier. In Milan, hosting the MTV EMAs tomorrow, but until then, it's pasta time. That tweet has been retweeted more than 12,000 times and marked as a favorite nearly 23,000 times.
Well, for me, it could be pasta time, although fortunately I don't look it, at least in the stomach. That's a lot of retweets for a simple tweet.
Exactly. I thought that as well, but that is until I scroll down to see more tweets from him. So here's a tweet from earlier this month. He tweeted, "Cheeseburgers, man." And that was marked as a favorite more than 30,000 times. So either people around the globe really love cheeseburgers or his social media clout is just that big.
Well, they do say cheese is an addictive, addictive as drugs.
Oh, absolutely.
Maybe not so much as popcorn and peanuts or vanilla ice cream for me. But tell us about one more musician at the event worth following.
Sure. Australian entertainer Ruby Rose is also one of the trending hashtags. So she tweeted this earlier Sunday. It's EMA day, 7 a.m. 3 hours of sleep and there's no turning back now. That's been marked as a favorite nearly 1,800 times. Rhea, I think having two openly homosexual celebrities as trending hashtags on Twitter shows how receptive the younger population is when it comes to diversity in many aspects of life.
Well, thank you very much. That's right. Thank you, G. That was our social media guru, G. Abby Lee, and you can follow her on Twitter at G. Abby Lee. That's J-E-E-A-B-B-E-Y-L-E-E. And also by following our program's account at VOA_IE. This is VOA.
The news never stops, so keep current on your mobile device with VOA News. Just go to m.voanews.com/English for instant, up-to-the-minute news and entertainment. Check m.voanews.com/English on your handheld device for news as it happens. Stay connected with a fast-changing world with m.voanews.com/English.
Jazz America.
This is Russ Davis, the host for Jazz America, where each week we give you the best of jazz past and present and conversation with the music makers. You can hear the program online at voanews.com and on the air on VOA each Saturday and Sunday at 13 hours Universal Time. Join me for Jazz America and help me celebrate the greatness of a century of jazz. Listen at 13 hours Universal Time, Saturdays and Sundays, on VOAnews.com and the Voice of America.
This is VOA's International Edition. Here's one you can sink your teeth into, provided you have your teeth. By age 65, 30% of all people around the world have lost all their teeth. Most bony fish, on the other hand, can regrow their lost teeth. And even though you're not a bony fish listening to me right now, I presume, scientists are wondering if their ability could somehow translate into human tooth regeneration. Here's VOA's Roseanne Skirbel.
Cichlids are popular tropical fish that biology professor Todd Streelman studies at the Georgia Institute of Technology in Atlanta.
Our approach is to find things that are hard to study otherwise and then target them in these animals. So in this case, Lake Malawi cichlid fishes, and many other fishes, regenerate their dentitions throughout their entire life.
So much so that a mouthful of teeth is replaced every 50 days. In a new study published in the journal Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, Streelman and his team take a closer look at embryonic cichlid cell tissue that develops into either teeth or taste buds.
And what we found was some really interesting commonalities between teeth and taste buds in their earliest development.
Last year, the same researchers sequenced the cichlid genome. This year, they crossed closely related cichlids and then compared genetic differences among the second-generation hybrids. They found what appeared to be genetic switches that would shift the embryonic cells to become either tooth or taste bud.
We could identify this because the genes that are typically positive markers of taste buds and the genes that are typically positive markers of teeth were co-expressed. They were expressed in the same places. So we basically could watch the path through development where this epithelium at one point was bipotent and then became either teeth or taste buds.
Teeth and taste buds begin in the same kind of tissue in the developing jaws of fish in their earliest stages. The scientists mapped the regions specific to each. Researchers went on to manipulate the undifferentiated tissue in fish to boost tooth development over taste buds at an early stage when the fish had eyes and a brain but were still growing jaws. It turns out that cichlids aren't the only animals that express these genes. Steelman says collaborators at King's College London demonstrated that a few poorly studied genes in mice were also involved in the development of teeth and taste buds. Roseanne Skirbel, VOA News, Washington.
You are listening to VOA's International Edition, coming to you from Washington. A down-on-his-luck rock music manager finds himself stranded in Afghanistan. But there he discovers a young woman who could change his whole life. International Edition's David Byrd tells us about Rock the Casbah, which stars comedian Bill Murray, Kate Hudson, and Bruce Willis.
Richie Lanz has seen better days during his career in rock and roll. Lanz, played by comedic veteran Bill Murray, takes his last client and assistant Ronnie, played by Zooey Deschanel, to Afghanistan to perform for the troops there.
You will play in front of 2,000 horny soldiers.
I'm gonna hurl! Oh my God!
I'm sorry, but I can't tell if you're vomiting or laughing.
When Richie finds himself dumped and stranded in Kabul, he discovers Salima Khan, a Pashtun girl with a beautiful voice who wants to be the first woman to compete in Afghanistan's version of American Idol. At the film's premiere in New York, Bill Murray said that he felt this movie was something special, even as they filmed it.
I haven't felt this way in a long time, that something unusual was happening, that we were really jumping over what was written and what was expected, making something much better than what we walked into at 6 o'clock in the morning and walking out of the every day going, I don't know. It started with, hey, you know, this might be good. Hey, you know what? This could be really good. And then it was, I think we really got something. I think that's what we have.
As Murray's character navigates Afghanistan, the film also gives audiences a look at some of the consequences of the war there.
What the hell am I doing here?
Richie Lanz, talent manager. How y'all doing, guys?
Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Back at you, babe.
Bill Murray says that the film used comedy as a way of getting into the deeper subjects, and it was a challenge to maintain the comedic element when dealing with more serious subject matter.
So that's something that we thought we could get away with, and not get away with, but succeed at. And then the idea of making the story right was going to be determined by the people about whom we were speaking, people from both Afghanistan and the Muslim world. And those people seem to think that not only is it very successful on a human level, that it's respectful, but that it's entertaining, too.
Rock the Casbah director Barry Levinson says that he prefers to use comedy to address tough subjects because that is what real life is like.
I think that sometimes, you know, behavior and real kind of humanistic behavior has a tendency to have humor mixed in with its more dramatic moments, as opposed to saying, well, this is supposed to be dramatic and therefore it's important, or this is a full-out comedy, that the blending of it, it tells you more about human behavior, for me personally.
Actress Leem Lubani, best known for her Oscar-nominated role in 2014's Omar, plays Salima, who dreams of singing on television. She says that the film ultimately is about shared humanity.
Well, for me, I think, although it's like a comedy, but it basically shows two human beings from a completely different, you know, world come together, put hand in hand, and help each other achieve what they want, which is, you know, I think it's such a humanistic story in a way that I think Barry was pretty genius to do that.
Rock the Casbah is rated R for language, including sexual references, some drug use, and brief violence. I'm David Byrd in Washington.
That's it for this edition of International Edition. More news and information is at your fingertips when you visit our website, voanews.com. Thank you for joining us. I'm Ray Kugel in Washington. Enjoy the day.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Key stakeholders from the wheat flour industry came together in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, in October. They celebrated business growth and shared information from 3 years of engagement under the African Alliance for Improved Food Processing Activity, a public-private partnership between the United States Agency for International Development, Partners in Food Solutions, and TechnoServe. The activity's participants worked with Ethiopia's commercial wheat millers, producers of fortified blended foods and flours, bakeries, and pasta manufacturers to expand wheat flour fortification in Ethiopia. Chronic food insecurity and malnutrition are grave problems in Ethiopia, where 2 out of every 5 children suffer from stunting, which means a lack of food and critical nutrients that impact their physical and mental growth. The availability of nutritious fortified wheat, a dietary staple in Ethiopia, is one step toward expanding access to nutritious food and reducing hunger. The activity harnessed the global technical expertise international food processors, including General Mills, Cargill, Royal DSM, and Bühler, to expand the skills of Ethiopia's growing food processing industry. Over a 3-year period, the activity supported 20 medium and large millers and processors to implement quality management systems, national standards and certification requirements, develop processes and nutritious food products tailored to market demand, strengthen financial systems, and improve business efficiencies. The activity trained staff members from 165 food processing companies and 2 government regulatory agencies on technical and business subjects such as wheat flour fortification, quality management systems, food safety, and national standards. Growth and expansion of the supported businesses brought Ethiopia the first locally produced fortified wheat flour, ensured sustainable sourcing of wheat from nearly 500,000 farmers, availed multigrain nutritious bread to the public, and facilitated access to land for expansion by farmer-owned wheat milling cooperatives. Notably, the activity hosted the President of the United States in one of the supported business sites under the U.S. government's Feed the Future initiative to showcase sustainable production of fortified weaning baby foods. This alliance, said USAID Acting Mission Director Gary Robbins, is central to our partnership in Ethiopia and the overall Feed the Future initiative. USAID will continue to work with the Ethiopian government to build its capacity to rapidly respond to periodic food insecurity, while also supporting efforts to find sustainable solutions to long-term nutritional challenges.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.